Hello and welcome back to the RHS Gardening Podcast. I'm Tony Dickerson, one of the RHS's team of horticultural advisors. This edition of our fortnightly podcast is brought to you from the RHS Flower Show at Hampton Court Palace. Coming up later, seasonal advice from international nurseries, plus advice on creating a garden as enjoyable for your dogs as it is for human members of your family. Hampton Court Palace is the world's largest annual flower show, which this year runs from the 5th to the 10th of July. It's renowned for its rose displays, fantastic shopping opportunities, innovative gardening designs, and of course its stunning location in the grounds of Hampton Court Palace. It's a wonderful day out for garden lovers. We went to sample some of what's on offer to visitors this year.
My name's Sue Biggs and I'm Director General of the RHS, and we're standing at Hampton Court Flower Show right in front of the four beautiful feel-good front gardens, and they're just such a joy. They've actually been created by amateurs who've designed for the first time from a competition run through BBC Local Radio, and their results are stunning, absolutely stunning. I think a lot of what we're doing this time is all around health, happiness and horticulture, and I have to say just walking around makes me feel so happy with all the beautiful. The sun has finally come out, which is just wonderful, and the weather forecast is brilliant all week. So to come down here and just see so many beautiful plants in the marquee, out here in the gardens, the butterfly dome is spectacular to see. Really beautiful tropical butterflies, as well as our native butterflies in the beautiful flower meadow outside. It's a beautiful, beautiful flower show. Our Green and Grey Britain campaign is so important to all of us, and I am determined that between us all, we are going to change the face of our country. You know, we need it to be green and beautiful. You know, we've got enough depression around at the moment anyway, so we can all do with a relax, leave that behind, come to Hampton Court Flower Show, and then go home and make your front garden beautiful.
My name's Anna, I'm an entomologist at RHS Garden Wisley, but today I'm at Hampton Court in our butterfly dome. We've got probably more than 1,000 tropical butterflies flying about in this really large dome filled with tropical plants, and yes, beautiful and warm. We've also got outside, the idea is here to inspire people and enthuse them about butterflies. Outside we've got lots of planting that's friendly for butterflies and for other pollinators. For the native butterflies, to then try and encourage them to plant those sorts of things in their own gardens.
I am John Wallen and I'm the designer for the World Vision Garden at RHS Hampton Court Palace Flower Show. I have taken the design from Chelsea Flower Show, which was almost a seismic earthquake activity, and we've expanded it from a 36 metre plot to a 150 metre square plot, and the planting has completely changed. You're now in the middle of a kind of mid-summer oxide daisy meadow, and if you're looking at the moment, we've got some young children blowing bubbles, and that's kind of what it is. It's a naive, simple space when they're kind of carefree sort of memories, and it reminds us that many children of this age don't get that sort of joy, and it reminds us why World Vision works in 100 countries worldwide and give children freedom from fear, really. What you're really looking at is five what looks like strips of turf designed to look almost zero gravity, as if almost maybe like a magic carpet, seismically sort of rising up and floating, really. It is real turf. It's all structurally held there, and you can walk under them, through them, trees are penetrating them, and then they are planted. As I say, there's oxide daisies, there's nice verbena, and then there are three water bowls throughout the garden, and they're just kind of moments or points of reflection as you walk through the space and share the journey with World Vision.
My name's Mark White, and myself and Abigail Ferguson, we designed the Allies and Times Hands Garden, conceptual garden. We've created a giant wave in mid-collapse, which represents through our concept the passing of a moment of time. And also we allow this as an interactive experience for visitors to walk through. We have sounds of the wave inside, and it's complemented with a Dungeness coastal landscape. The wave's made out of about 500 to 700 pieces of steam bent ash wood, and it's all been put together, and each piece has been put on and around a framework, and to give this effect of a fully cresting wave. Concept is based on Shakespeare's sonnet, Sonnet 60, which talks about the succession of waves mimicking the minutes of a human life, and the fact that you can't stop time, but you can actually harness time to possibly leave a message for future generations.
This year, the show also has a special Family Garden Day on Saturday, the 9th of July, with special activities aimed at children of all ages.
We're looking at the roses.
One, it smells really nice. And you can make, like, perfume out of it, I think.
It smells really nice, like soap or perfume or something.
It smells wonderful because when you smell it, you can smell loads of different kinds of lovely things.
Yeah.
We've seen this kind of wave thing which you can walk through, and it gives you a memory of the beach, and it sounds like the ocean when you go inside.
The waves have really nice messages. There's one that says, we don't remember the days, but we remember the moments.
The Cook and Grow Theatre is a popular location for food lovers to hear talks from celebrity Grow Your Own experts such as Bob Flowerdew, James Wong and Gennaro Contardo, giving talks on inspiring culinary uses for the produce you grow in your own garden.
My name's Terry Oliver, work for Kensington and Chelsea Council, and we're in the veg box section at Hampton Court. We've got a little veg box here, so it's 3 metres by 3 metres, but we've crammed a lot in. What we're trying to do is showcase the kind of work we're doing in Kensington and Chelsea. So over the last 7 years, we've kind of developed underused bits of land into food-growing gardens called, well, we call them community kitchen gardens. So we've got about 75 across the borough now, well over 1,500 residents growing their own fruit and veg. Work with 18 schools, and they have a kind of a small area. It's only like 3 metres, well, 3 metres by about 1 metre, so it's not as big as this. But it just shows how productive a small space can be. And it works really well with a kind of busy urban lifestyle as well. So we've got four planters today. They're kind of made out of this kind of bespoke metal planters, which we use at some of the sites where the beds may have to be moved around. Two sites at Kensington Olympia Station, where we've got 89 of these kind of raised colourful metal boxes where we give them to residents and community groups to grow their own fruit and veg. So what we've got here, we've got a school plot which kind of showcases early and late harvests, because a lot of schools forget about the summer holidays and the maintenance of that. So what we try and do is I've put in early stuff like strawberries and potatoes and things like that, and then later stuff like pumpkins and stuff which are really popular. We've also got things like the electric daisy, which are here, which kind of give a tingling sensation on your mouth. Yeah, so they kind of give you a little electric shock on the tongue. You still add a bit of interest, so which is always good fun. And we've got four greenhouses, which have been funded through public health funding. And we've been training up volunteers, like local residents and schools, and they've been growing all the seedlings from seed, basically, and selling them, and the money we make goes back into the community kitchen garden. And they've grown about 99.9% of this from seed. It's a win-win situation for everyone involved, because it's using bits of land which no one's actually using, like a developer might have or whatever. So we're transforming that into a really nice kind of new community resource where they can come in and grow their own fruit and veg for free, basically. And we have two community gardeners which give free garden advice and support and a little bit of hand holding and confidence building. Gardening's been proven to be good for the mind and body and soul and stuff, hasn't it? So it's just great, and especially when you're in such an urban area, actually getting kids and families and stuff growing their own fruit and veg, it's really important. So
we're Alton Infant School from Alton in Hampshire. And this is a garden that's been designed by children and parents way back in the autumn. We've split the 3 metre square into 9 square metres, and each one represents a recipe. So the children were asked to design 1 square metre with their parents or grandparents or whomever. Watercress soup. We're Alton, so we're quite near watercress beds in Alsford, so we've got the watercress in a bowl with, we've got a solar panel there and just a little bubbling, because it grows on gravel and slightly running water, so that's what we tried to represent that there. Potatoes, peas and onions for the soup. And then we've got carrot and courgette cupcakes. These were one of the favourites when we tried them. They were very delicious. And unfortunately our courgette got eaten here, not in Alton, by a Hampton Court slug. This is a cup of tea. So we've got all the scented geraniums and mints and different herbs, a chamomile. And then the one the children like the best is we actually got a Camellia sinensis. There's the only one I could get was this tiny cutting, which wasn't the plan really. But we stuck it in a little pot instead, so they're very thrilled with it. This is a rainbow salad and a herb omelette. And then this one's a vegetable burger with the wheat at the back and poppies and cornflowers. I think this is my favourite. I love it.
Hampton Court Palace Flower Show also sees the four winners of the RHS and BBC Garden Design Competition have their designs for a feel-good front garden become reality. We went to speak to the winners and find out more.
So today we're at the Feel Good Front Gardens for the RHS and BBC Local Radio, and I'm Anne-Marie Powell, and I was one of the judges with my esteemed colleague James Alexander Sinclair to actually choose the winners of this fabulous competition. So the competition was really to design a garden that makes people feel good, you included, and your neighbourhood, and is inspired by your locale. So essentially it's a small space, 6x4, that we've made them a bit bigger on site, I have to confess, just to inspire people to get gardening in their own front garden when they got back home. And we're delighted that we've actually managed to get winners from right across the country. So we've got Kent, we've got Bristol, we've got Manchester, and we've got Cornwall, all represented with spectacularly different garden styles. And I have to say, I am thrilled by the enthusiasm and hard work of all these amateur garden designers and the RHS team. And I think some of these gardens are really, well, all these gardens are some of the best on site actually this year. So yeah, it's amazing what you can do on a small space with a small budget, don't you think?
My name's James Stewart. I look after some of the big campaigns for local radio and regional TV for the BBC in England. And over the past few months, we've been encouraging our listeners to take part in a competition to design four gardens at Hampton Court. And today we're looking at the final creations, which are finally built. And they look fantastic. In February this year, we launched on air a competition across all 40 BBC local radio stations in England, the chance to design a garden at Hampton Court. And we set some fairly stiff criteria. It had to be 6 metres by 4. It had to be a front garden. It had to be inspired by where people live. And it had to have some sense of feeling good about garden. So a garden that made you feel happy. So quite a long list of criteria. And then we had a long, long list of criteria on the website that people could go for. And we had hundreds of entries, most of which were of a really, really high standard. So we got together with James Alexander Sinclair and Anne-Marie Powell, who are two of our judges, Ali Dempster, who's built the garden, and a couple of guys from the RHS, at a big meeting in Vincent Square. It took all day, and it was quite an interesting discussion, and we chose four winners and then handed it over to the RHS, who've built them here at Hampton Court.
My name's Lee Burkhill and I'm from Manchester. So I've designed a feel-good front garden as part of the RHS and BBC's competition this year. And the purpose of it was to provide a front garden that was maybe sensory, felt good and had an influence of somewhere where you lived. So each of the different designs are from different parts of the UK and mine's from Manchester. I've really played on Manchester's rich industrial heritage. So we've got all the canals, we've got lots of cobbles in Manchester, and you know, in the early 1900s we had a lot of industry and cotton. So what I've tried to do is to take some of those really harsh landscape features, such as the timbers and the cobbles, but then offset them with a really relaxed kind of meadow planting to mimic the side of a canal, to try and bring some calm to the garden, but giving it a really strong structure at the same time.
I'm Simon Judge. The design really is meeting the brief about a feel-good front garden and also something that reflects the locality where I'm from. I live in Bristol, and it's something which is an important part of Bristol's culture, which is the SS Great Britain in the middle of the city, and of course its long connection with Brunel, with the suspension bridge, and of course the Great Western Region Railway. The planting and the design very much reflects the era when it was built, which is that it was built in the 1840s for the transatlantic trade. It was the first transatlantic liner, and it was designed to take passengers and goods to America. And if you can go there today, and it is one of the top 10 attractions according to the popular magazine, it's also a chance for people to see the sort of things that people used back then to transport goods to America. We've got these large cases that you'll see all over the harbour side. The kind of industrial feel of the paving comes from the kind of stones that the harbour is made out of, and in fact it's the local pennant stone, and the sort of hard-edged oak is also something which is very characteristic of the place. The prairie planting is really from America, where we were starting to import plants. The yew trees represent the planting design that was popular in mid-Victorian era, and The cast iron of back then, of course, which is what the furniture, the buildings, and a lot of the boat itself was made of, the ship, the SS Great Britain, is very much characteristic of what the Victorians used in a lot of their engineering projects. So it's designed to reflect that, but obviously to be a space that you want to sit in. The important thing with this is, I think all of the gardens exemplify a couple of things, which are really good general tips for people who are thinking of just paving over their front garden. One of which is go big, because often the danger is that you plant lots of small gardens. And don't forget, you don't have to have garden with gravel or grass in it. All of these gardens, they don't have grass patches. They don't use lots and lots of gravel, but they do have strong features, strong vertical features. These are only 6 metres by 4. They're the size of an average front garden, but they all give a sense of space and enclosure, which is important. They've all got water features, and with the idea of a small bubble fountain or a small fountain in the background, people feel much more confident about sitting out, just chatting to each other, because although people may be walking past near to them, there is that sense of privacy that it affords.
Nikki Shellis.
Liz Dobinson.
Jenny Booty.
And Tim Walker.
So our garden is a Cornish garden. It's taken inspiration from the mining heritage of Cornwall and the link between the miners, the plant hunters, you know, the mine owners that went away to other countries and came back with the plants that we can support with the Cornish climate.
Well, the garden is exotic planting, which is, as Nikki said, is supported by the climate in Cornwall. And it's based on the miners coming out of the darkness of their mine, i.e. coming through these fern trees, and out into the light. So the idea was that they would come home either today, modern day, coming out of their office, or whether in the mining times, they're coming out of the mine and into a beautiful exotic garden where they can just feel at home, relax, enjoy a cup of tea, sat on the oak bench, and enjoy the water and all the planting.
Hello, my name's Sarah Morgan and we are at Hampton Court Flower Show, where I have my show garden here for Feel Good Front Gardens. My garden is a shingle garden and it starts from the nearer the house with very tall plants. So I've got tall grasses, Calum agrostis, Carl Forster, tall wild carrot, Verbena bonariensis, lots of fennel woven throughout. And then as you walk, I've got a large water feature built from a steel bowl, a rusted steel bowl, and with big steel girders going down into the water feature as rills across the garden, angled into each corner diagonally. They're inspired by the harbour at Whitstable, because we have a working harbour there. They still do a lot of fishing, especially shellfish and oyster fishing. So there's a lot of steel and heavy materials and girders. So I've got these big girders as rills, and I've got chains coming down into like an oil drum water butt, feeding the rills with water. So as you leave the front door, the idea is that you feel that you're on a walk across the land down to the edge of the water.
Flower shows are a fantastic opportunity to discuss the variety of plants you especially like with the growers who specialise in them. From dahlias to air plants, cacti to crocotomia, the specialist growers can give advice on choosing varieties, common problems, and of course, what seasonal jobs you should be doing throughout the year to keep your specimens in top condition. We spoke to some experts to see what are the key jobs gardeners can be tackling in July.
I'm Heather Goddard-Key and from Firebricks Nurseries, and we're in the floral marquee at Hampton Court Palace Flower Show. We've got two displays, actually. We've got one of the pelargoniums, which is behind me here, and we also have another one of fern and ivy. So we've got one that's lovely and lush and green, and one which is just a blaze of colour. So obviously we're in the middle of summer, it's peak pelly season. They want to be kept very well fed, they're hungry plants, so every time you water you want to be feeding with a tomato feed, a high potash feed, Tomerite is perfect, and regular deadheading just to keep them nice and neat and tidy, and that's pretty much it. I mean, they're not high maintenance plant. It's one of those things that you can go on holiday, give them a good drink before you go with some feed, go away for a week, not have to worry about, and they're still looking great when you come back. So very easy going.
I'm Gareth Dibley from Dibley's Nurseries. We're a houseplant nursery in North Wales, and we've come down to Hampton Court every year to show our Streptocarpus and our begonias off. Streptocarpus. They are a flowering houseplant. They do well in a west, an east or a north windowsill, and they flower right through in a house from about May to October, November. They're very easy, and they just keep flowering. You just got to be careful not to overwater them, so that's the secret with Streptocarpus, is to wait until they're dry in between watering. You want to take the dead flowers off as they go over. Particularly in the hot weather, you're going to get a lot of flowers coming out, but a lot going over. So if you keep pinching off the dead flowers, that will encourage more new ones to come along, so keep doing that. Well, it's a good time to propagate at this time of the year, so if you've got nice fresh young leaves, you can propagate both begonias and Streptocarpus from those. The Streptocarpus, you can cut a leaf into sections or you can take the midrib out, but the easiest is to use a whole leaf and just pop that into compost, and that will root and produce you a new plant. Simple as that.
Grace, you'll be hiding some. We're from Ruscombe, which is near Reading, and we're exhibiting lilies and alliums. We have rose lilies, which are double lilies, so they're pollen-free. Very nice perfume, but they need an ericaceous soil. And then we've got some others, which are very big flowers, highly scented in yellows, oranges and that, and they grow in any free-draining soil. It's basically a very, very scented stand. If you've got a lily that's finished flowering, you cut off the actual flower, very top of the flower spike, and let it die back down again. If you've got a lily that's not yet flowered, you just have to wait for a nice sunny day, because they're being held up by the sun no end. You know, they really are slow this year.
You'll also find out more information on all aspects of gardening on the advice pages of our website. There you can also watch video guides to key seasonal jobs. Go to rhs.org.uk/advice. I'm Tony Dickerson, and you're listening to the RHS Gardening Podcast. Remember, the Hampton Court Palace Flower Show runs from the 5th until the 10th of July, with a family day on the 9th of July, featuring extra activities for families and children. There are still some tickets available on the RHS website, rhs.org.uk/Hampton Court. And if you can't make it to Hampton Court this year, here are some of the other activities and events happening in the next few weeks. We all want beautiful flowers in our gardens, yet throughout history, plants have provided much more, from fabric to food to medicine. Join team leader Ali Mundy in a walk and demonstration in the kitchen garden at Harlow Carr to explore some of these plants and their uses. That takes place on 18th of July, but booking is essential. Branch of the British Cactus and Succulent Society will be staging their annual show during the weekend of the 16th and 17th of July at RHS Garden Hyde Hall. See fantastic displays and pick up a plant to take home too. Free with normal garden entry. Did you know that earlier this year we sent some rocket seeds into space as part of a groundbreaking experiment? Come and see our rocket science exhibition at RHS Garden Rosemore, which runs from the 16th of July to the 21st of August, to find out more. Join us for an early morning walk and talk around Wisley on the 20th of July with our expert team to discover how to make the most of your garden microclimates. Booking is essential and discounted places are available for RHS members. Details of these and hundreds of other events are available on our website at rhs.org.uk/event search. And finally, one gardener is sure to draw the attention of pet lovers at the RHS Hampton Court Palace Flower Show is the Dogs Trust Garden. To mark its 125th anniversary, the charity has worked with designer Paul Hervey Brooks to create a show garden that is designed to give pleasure to both dogs and their owners, is safe for dogs and protected from their own over-enthusiasm, and offers sensory features that will make your patch a canine paradise.
My name's Richard Moore, and I'm the manager of our rehoming centre at Dogs Trust in West London. Today you're in our garden, A Dog's Life, at Hampton Court Flower Show. This garden is really about embracing gardens and dogs together and giving dogs the opportunity to have great fun in a garden. It was really based on the design that we put together at our Harefield Centre in West London, which really wanted to give dogs more of an opportunity to use their senses. So we devised a sensory garden, which had various different plants to give the dogs the opportunity to see the different colours, to use their nose to sniff out the different scents. Certainly it was a big area as well that they could explore through. And the whole idea was, say, embracing and enhancing their senses. Following on from that, you can see the garden that we have here. There's loads of things for our dogs to do, whether it's tunnels, whether it's the sniffer gravel tracks, working their way through the amazing selection of beautiful flowers, or whether it's just the straight run of the grass for them to run up and down and put their foot down, if you like, as a dog does. We also have a lovely flat water area as well, and dogs absolutely love water. Not just to be able to paddle in, as they have with the water area there, but we also have running water behind us. And running water, again, has two attractions to a dog. One, from a natural water running point of view, that's really beneficial for them. Also, the movement of the water, the sound of the water, again, it's something interesting for them. And that's so much what this whole garden is about. It's interesting for the dog. What was so important to us was that all of the plants were non-toxic to dogs. There are a lot of plants out there. I mean, just an obvious one like mint and the grass itself. They can have medicinal purposes for dogs. Dogs can almost self-medicate themselves with plants. So anyone that owns a dog will see sometimes that the dog is chewing on grass if their digestive system needs a bit of a shake-up. But they're all non-toxic plants, lots of vibrant, brilliant colours, obviously the yellow of Dogs Trust as well. But they're all about being safe for the dogs, but also giving them so much to see, to smell, and just let their senses go wild. Rolling on from this, the brilliant thing about the garden is that once the show has finished on Sunday, the pavilion and about 70% of the garden will be relocated to our centre in West London. So it means that not just the benefit of the dogs that are visiting the site here this week, but also for years and years to come, the dogs will be able to benefit from a brilliant, calm, chilled out environment which our pavilion offers, to be able to make friends with dog walkers, with potential new owners, with members of staff, and also the experiences of all the garden that will bring as well.
As always, you can find out more information for Hampton Court Palace and details of all the gardens on show on the RHS website. So that's all we have time for in this edition. We'll be back in a fortnight. Until then, remember you can follow us on Twitter at @_RHS and like us on Facebook. For now, from me, Tony Dickerson, and all the RHS Gardening Podcast team, goodbye.